Thank you, ladies, for that special. Well, once again, good evening, everyone. It's good to see you all. Don't stand just yet, but Colossians chapter 2, if you would, please. Colossians chapter number 2. As always, I appreciate the opportunity to preach and appreciate Brother Josh's message this morning. A lot of practical things we can take away from that. If you were downstairs and you missed it, I would encourage you to listen to it at some point this week. It is a blessing to me, and I appreciate him delivering it the way that he did. But tonight, let's look into the scriptures here in just a moment. Now, by way of introduction, this evening, you know, a lot of things in scripture are very cut and dry, right? Can we all agree on that? It's one of the things about the Word of God that makes it the Word of God. It is absolute. It is truth. There's no fuzzy lines. There's no gray areas, or very little. Many of them that we make them to be. But there's principles and there's doctrines and there's teachings that make it very yes and no. Amen. So, you know, I think a lot of that, like I said, we bring it on ourselves. And so whenever the scriptures talks about, whenever I look into the scriptures, okay, as a Christian, I think we all have a profession of faith looking around the room tonight. You know, it's very simple in a lot of ways. Either you're saved or you're not. Either you are baptized or you're not. Either you're a church member or you're not. Is this making sense so far? But I fear that we carry in this culture of a third option to our Christian life. Here's what I mean. Recently, I had to take a survey for work, and it asked gender, male, female, or other. There's two. There's two genders. So, I did not select other, in case you're wondering. I selected male, aggressively. I hit the iPad very hard, because I wanted to know my feelings about it. That's a silly example, but a lot of times, I fear, okay, maybe I'm just speaking for myself tonight, and that's okay if I am. But a lot of times, the world tries to put on a third option. Either you're saved, you're lost, or you don't know. Make sense? You're saved, you're lost, or you're going to church. You're saved, you're lost, or your grandma got saved. Is this making sense so far? And we carry this mentality of a third option into our Christian life. And after we get saved, okay, we have to deal with that absolute first. Say amen. I have to come to the reality that I'm either saved or I'm lost. And once I realize I'm willing to swallow my ego and swallow my pride and say I'm lost and I gotta do something about it, and you get saved. Okay, that's a glorious time, isn't it? But after we get saved, it doesn't stop, right? Being saved is an instantaneous thing, okay? I kneel down in prayer, or however it happened for you, but when I knelt down in prayer that night, Christmas Eve of 2007, I knelt down in prayer. My dad was sitting next to me, and I asked the Lord to forgive me. I told him I was a sinner. I told him I was wrong, and I told him I wanted to repent for the things I'd done. He didn't coach me through that. I knew exactly what to say. I felt like I didn't know what to say, but I believe the Spirit of God led me through that as well. But when I stood up, I was saved that night. Amen. And something similar, I think, happened to you. Yeah. May not have been the same circumstances, but you understand what I'm saying tonight. When you stood up from that moment, or knelt, or however it was for you, you were saved. If you did it the way the Bible says, you were saved. But as we continue to grow in Christ, we come to this problem, I think, to where after we first get saved, we grow aggressively. We're hungry. We want to know more. We want to know more about this God who brought us out of the condition that we were in. And we start to make commitments, and we start to make promises and vows, and we say, Lord, I want to be better for you. And those are all great things. I'm not saying, don't put something in my mouth I'm not saying. Those are great things. But what happens, though, is that we think that there's this middle ground between growing for Christ, but we're not backsliding either. Does that make sense to everyone? We try to invent this middle ground where we convince ourselves we're okay, but we're not growing. We're stale. We're like fish in an aquarium, and we're just kind of swimming around. Let's all stand, if you would. Colossians chapter 2. I want to read a couple verses here. Colossians chapter 2, we're just going to read three verses, beginning in verse number 6. We'll cover a little bit more. But for the sake of time, let's look at Colossians 2, verse number 6. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We'll stop there for the reading. But what I want us to notice is there's two things here that are pointed out. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ, so walk ye in him. So how do I demonstrate that? Verse number 7 begins with rooted and built up in him. We're rooted. We're strong. We're growing. Is this making sense so far? I'm not trying to put something there that isn't there, but it says rooted and built up, right? The contrast is in verse number 8. Spoil. Spoil. So here's our title for tonight. Are you rooted or are you rotting? Are you rooted or are you rotting? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your house tonight. As much as we thank you for the songs and for the fellowship that has already happened, I ask that you would help us to focus on your word tonight. And I ask prayer not that my words would be heard, but that your truths come across clearly, that you would just help me clear my thoughts and just to focus on what you'd have me to say. But most of all, I pray that you receive the honor and glory from what's said and done here tonight. If there's one here that isn't saved, I pray that you convict them and draw them as only you can. But for those of us who are saved, I pray that we are all rooted, that we're all growing in you, and that we'll do the best we can to bear fruit that you'd be proud of. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Are you rooted or are you rotting? Now in our text, Paul is writing to the church at Colossae, and in this particular passage, he's rejoicing in the fact that they have accepted Christ. It says in verse number 1, we're going to back up just a little bit, okay? So bear with me. In Colossians chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, for I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul begins Colossians chapter number 2 by saying that he hasn't met these people. They believed in Christ. They believed in his words and his message, but he's absent. He's not there. Does that make sense to everyone so far? And so Paul starts off chapter 2, verse number 1, with a, as it says, a great conflict, great care, okay, great fear, even, as it's translated in some passages. And so Paul is very concerned for the people at Colossae. Okay, you with me so far? I'm going to keep asking you that just to make sure we're on the same page. Oh, by the way, if you're not ready yet, say amen. Or if you're ready, say amen. Okay, psych, gotcha. All right, so if you're ready, say amen. Okay, good deal. Hopefully I'm ready. So Paul writes at the church at Colossae, and he is greatly concerned about the fact that obviously there's some problems going on. Because twice in 8 verses, Paul is concerned about people swooping in and beguiling them and spoiling them and giving them vain philosophy. It says in verse number 4, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you. But then again in verse number 8 that we already read, it says, beware. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit and so on and so forth. So Paul is concerned. Okay, you with me so far? Paul is concerned. But he speaks about how if they have accepted Christ as Savior, they are to begin to look at Christ, at the example that Christ set. Now, having Paul as an example, I'm not saying is a bad thing. But Paul is following the pattern of Christ, is he not? And so Paul is encouraging them to walk in him, as it says in verse number 6. Now, it's only natural. So think back to before you were saved. Okay, think back to before you were saved. It's only natural for a lost person to look to themselves as they live their life. Okay, they rely on their own self-reliance or their own talents and their own abilities. They rely on their own ambition and intellect, okay? They rely on these things to get them through life and to begin building the life that they think they want. Does that make sense to everyone so far? Especially if you're saved later in life, you feel this. Okay? Those of you saved later in life, I'm sure I was a teenager when I got saved, but even then, I was beginning to wonder, what am I going to do after high school? You know, and it was all about, this is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. This is how I want to build my life. And those of you who are older, like I said, you probably dealt with this a lot more than I did. But I can remember the draw to rely on myself. Even after we're saved, we still do that. But especially when you're lost. You know, you don't have anything to measure yourself up against. You don't have any reason to build your life on someone else. So you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and get to work. Right? Unless if you're like my generation and then you pull up your sweatpants and lay on the couch. But, you know, for most of us who have a work ethic, you know, we tend to want to do those things. And so we begin to build the life that we think we want. All right? Now, Paul reminds these Christians, whether new or old, it doesn't matter, but he reminds the Christians at Colossae in this passage that when they accepted Christ, they were to turn away from these things, and they were instead to focus on the key phrase in verse number 6. That's four words. Walk ye in him. Now, again, I don't want to make the passage say something that it doesn't say. Okay? But when it says, walk ye in him, stop walking after what you want. Stop walking after those things that appeal to you. Because there have been some things since I got saved that God has called me to do that I wasn't too thrilled about. When God called me to preach, I wasn't too thrilled about it. I struggled with it. I battled with it. And I didn't want to do it, if I can just be honest with you tonight. But I realized eventually that that's what's best for me, because that's what God wanted me to do. But as a lost person, you have no recognition of that. You just want to do what you want to do. And if you can make it work, you make it work. But walk ye in him, that short phrase carries a lot of meaning. It carries a lot of gravity. Because when I walk after what I want to walk after, I'm seeking my own personal joy and my own happiness. But if there's anything we learn from the example of Christ, it's that, or the example of Paul, excuse me, it's that when you walk ye in him, it doesn't always mean an easy life. Walk ye in him sometimes means a lot of inconvenient things happen. Now, all the way through verse number 15 or so in Colossians chapter 2, we see Paul gives these believers some evidences and some ways to walk ye in him. So let's look at a couple. Okay, let's look at a couple. In verse number 7, it says, we already read it, but we're going to read it one more time. It says, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. When I decide to walk in Christ, it means that I'm pushing myself to learn more about God and to apply those things in my life. Okay, that's not too deep, is it? When I decide, after I get saved, okay, you tracking with me so far, after I get saved, and I begin to grow, and I begin to have that desire and that hunger to come to church, and to listen to the lesson, and to take notes, and in my daily life, I'm praying and I'm seeking the Lord's help. And as I begin to change these things in my life, I need to push myself to learn. Because it's not always convenient to come to church. Sometimes we come to church and we're tired. Right? Sometimes we come to church and we have some burdens that we're carrying that may distract us, may distract our thoughts. Sometimes these things pop up in life, and especially in our daily walk with Christ. These things pop up, and they make it difficult for us to focus in. Now we have some days, I think, we have some days where we're tuned in, man. Like we're ready to learn. We're ready to say amen, and we're ready to be active in the song service, and we're ready to fellowship, but it's not always that way, is it? Our flesh wants to fight us, and our mind wants to fight us. But one of the evidences that I'm walking in Christ is that I'm not settling for mediocre in my life. Can I put it that way? I'm not settling to be an average church member. I'm pushing myself so that I can learn more about my God, so I can love him more, so I have more ways to thank him for who he is. There's a lot more into that, but I got to keep moving here because, as Brother Josh mentioned, we have a clock now So that's a blessing of all blessings. So we're going to keep moving here. In verse number 7, we need to push ourselves to learn more about God. Okay? Secondly, in verse number 7, we need to be thankful for the truths that we hear from the Word of God. It says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Be thankful. When God convicts you about something, as hard as it is, be thankful for it. Because that means God's still speaking to you. Be thankful for these truths. Be thankful for the Word of God you hold in your lap tonight. Be thankful for the fact that you can come to a church where the truth is taught and preached. Be thankful for these things. Being a thankful person is a distinct marker, of walking in Him. Because not a lot of people are thankful today. In verse number 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Another evidence that we're walking in Him. Walking in Christ means living a life that is built squarely on the teachings of His Word. I am to build my life on His Word. The standards and the principles and the teachings therein, they are to dictate my life. You look like you don't believe me. Being rooted and built up. It says in verse number 7, rooted and built up in Him. If you're going to be built up on something, you should probably know what He says. And that's found in His Word. Building a life upon Christ. Not building a life upon my ambitions, or my intellect, or my career path. Build a life built on what He says. A couple more here. Another evidence that we're walking in Him is that we're willing to wage a war with the sinful flesh that resides in us. And we're willing to put it off. You understand that the Christian life, more than anything else, it seems like in my life anyway, it's about fighting. It's about fighting my flesh. It's about fighting the world around me. It's a constant battle. It's a battle to get the filthiness of the world out of your mind. It's a battle to fight off some of the bad influences at work. These things can be hard. But when you're willing to wage a war and you're not willing to settle for mediocrity, if you're willing to walk in Him, don't you think God will empower you to walk in Him? And lastly, this is not an expository list by any means, but I'm just trying to prove that there's some evidences in our life that we can look for that we're walking in Him. In verse number 14, we didn't read this, but we're going to read it now. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. It's a very visual reminder, isn't it? When we walk in Him, we do not allow the sins of the past to be a reoccurring weed in our life that keeps cropping up at the worst times. Once again, those of you who are saved later in life can probably relate to this, maybe more so than those of us who are saved at a young age. But man, isn't our flesh good at playing mind tricks on us? About reminding us how we messed up here and how we did wrong there. And how if we were just a better person, our life would be going better. Our flesh is really good at that. But when I walk in Him, I remember that He took my sins. And in verse number 14, He nailed Him to His cross. I don't have to have those things hovering over me, because I'm walking in Him. Now, our text indicates that for those of us who accepted Christ, there are some tangible and applicable things that should be impacting my life for the better. We went through a few of those, okay? So, here's the question. Is a person's life really that different based on if they accept Christ as their Savior or not? Because the things that we listed here, I only went through 5. I could have gone through a lot more, but I'm trying to be mindful of the clock tonight. As we look through these things, is a person's life really that different? In reference to our title, is it really a fair question to ask if we are rooted or if we're rotting? Is the difference really that extreme? Okay, so here's where I'm going with this. Okay, I'm going to completely blow my sermon, and that's okay. But here's where I'm going with this. We live in a world today that wants to stand in the middle. We live in a world where people want to come to church, and they want people to tell them that they're good, and that they're fine, and that they can lift their hands and sing the songs and leave and be the same. Okay? That's the world that we're in. I'm not saying that it's that this is the only time in history that's happened. I'm just speaking the reality so we're on the same page. That is what our flesh likes. Our flesh wants for us to come to church and for the pastor to stand up and get some affirmation for my spiritual life and I can go home and be happy. But the reality is, that is not the case. The reality is that if I've accepted Christ, I should not be content with the middle ground. I should not be content with learning, with going on this streak of learning for quite some time and then just mellowing out. I shouldn't be content. Can I bring it here? Is that okay with you all? I'm going to do it anyway. So I can. What this means is that when I get saved, I get fired up and I go to ABC class. I go to Brother Josh's ABC class. And then I go through Brother Alder's ABC class. And then I stop learning. Does that make sense? We shouldn't be content with that. That's not continually being rooted. That is being rooted for a time and then rotting. That's like plants are on my mind right now because my house looks like a greenhouse. So my wife has gone a little plant crazy because I said, sure, we can have a raised garden bed. So now we have two. And now we have plants on the porch. And now we have plants on the back porch. We have plants for plants that have their plants. That's where we're at. So plants are on my mind now because everywhere I look, there's a plant. And so as I look at all of these plethora of plants, what I'm seeing is that when they are rooted, they continue to grow. They continue to grow, right? So Elizabeth goes out and she waters them and she cares for them and she does all the things that she does to make plants grow. Don't know what they are. I just move them because they're heavy. And so as she takes care of these plants, okay, they take root and they grow for whatever their purpose is. But the minute that Elizabeth stops watering those plants, okay, the minute the plant decides, you know what, I'm not going to eat the soil today. I know a plant can't decide. You understand what I'm saying, okay? Some of you looked at me like, Brother Mason, plants don't talk. Yes, I know. It's okay. But if the plant decides to stop growing, the plant is technically still rooted for a time. And then it rots. It heals over. The plant may look good above the soil for a time, but under the soil, if it's not taking in the nutrients, it's not taking in the water, it dies. Made sense? Those of you who are gardeners in here, I don't think I said anything wrong, okay? I'm just keeping it surface level because I don't know anything about this stuff. All I know is that a plant lives or a plant dies. And guess what? A Christian lives or a Christian dies. Our spiritual life, it lives or it dies. Now, once we're saved, I want to be very clear about something, okay? Once we're saved, we are granted a lot of things. We're granted the promise of heaven. We're granted the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're granted enlightening of the Word of God as we read it. I think that's pretty amazing, don't you? There are a lot of things in Scripture that when I was lost, I read them and I didn't understand them. I had no idea what they meant. But now that I'm saved, I read them and I think, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Because I've experienced it in my life. But there's all these promises in Scripture that were given, okay, that a lost person cannot understand. But we're given all of these things. But I think one thing that we miss out on so often is that the promise of being rooted is ongoing. There's an ongoing work in our lives to make us to be more conformed to the image of Christ. And to use Colossians, our text, walking in Him, being rooted and being built in Him. When something is being built, that means it's ongoing, right? When I got saved, I wasn't done. God wasn't done with me. He's building me. Does that make sense to everyone? So, are you rooted or are you rotting? Now, I'm sure we have all come across people who do not see the benefits of being a Christian. They think that since they choose not to believe in heaven or believe in hell, what happens now really doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. They're so focused on now and so focused on today that in their mind, okay, try to think like a lost person, okay? When they are presented with the gospel, and we say things like, you know, this will grant you a home in heaven. Is that true? Absolutely it is. Yep, for sure. You know, don't you want to go to heaven when you die? But if they don't believe in heaven, what's it matter? You know, some of us have family that live life going from the emotional equivalent of a mountain to a valley, and they just assume that's normal. You know, you have family members like that? They think it's normal to have these extreme highs and these extreme lows. And every day it could be just throw a dart at a dartboard. It could be whatever. Some of us may have coworkers that live life going from relationship to relationship. And every time they do, they give a piece of their heart away to one person and then another, leaving behind a trail of heartbreak and broken promises. I have coworkers like that. Every day it seems like they're in a new relationship. And they invest all this time into a person that they have no intention of going anywhere with. I'm just going to say that that's not God's plan. Some of us may have friends that live life thinking that their job or their bank account is an indication of how well things are going. We all know people like this, don't we? What all of these people fail to realize is the simple fact that being a Christian is more than where you spend eternity. Is that important? Yes, it is. But just as important is the fact that being a Christian means it changes your life now. Today. And I fear that there are many people in many churches like ours, and we knock on their door for visitation, and we say, hey, my name is Mason from Calvary Baptist Church. Do you know if you're saved? Do you know if you're going to heaven when you die? And can I just tell you something that you've already realized? They don't care about that question. It's not right that they don't care. I'm not excusing them, but I'm saying that they don't care. But what does matter is the fact that many of them don't know, because they've never been confronted with the knowledge that if you become a Christian, it changes your life today. It's not just about what happens when you close your eyes in death. It's about the fact that you can live an abundant life in Christ now. Amen. You can walk in Him now. Right. These things matter. Yeah. And this is not my message, because I'm more focused on those of us who are saved. But when we're telling other people about Christ, we do need to talk about heaven. And we need to talk about where they're going to go when they die, because that matters. But that's taken care of if you do a well enough job telling them the benefits of the now. Telling them that, listen, you're not right with God today, but you could be. And He could bless you. And He could make you a part of His church, of His body in Knob Noster, Missouri. And you can find a family here. And you can find people that love you and care about you. But most importantly, you can have an abundant and full life in Him. What's wrong with telling them that? That's right. What's wrong with focusing on, you may not believe in heaven when you die because you think you're going to live till you're 232 if you're a millennial. You know, you think that you're going to live forever. But you're not. They refuse to listen to that. So how about we focus on today and tomorrow? You know, God as our Creator has a system designed to keep us from living a life that is pointless. God knows that we need purpose in our lives. We need purpose, don't we? We need purpose. Therefore, as the Creator of life, He also knows what we need to live a life that is filled with purpose and joy and blessings. Now, in that life, there's still things that go wrong, right? There's still problems that happen. What this truth does mean is that I can overcome the bad things in life if I'm willing to do things God's way. Is this making sense so far? Okay. I feel like I'm losing you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch gears, okay? When I stray from my notes, it's generally not a good thing, but I'm going to do it now. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, if you would. Everyone okay? We doing all right? Okay. Matthew chapter 7. I want to look at a passage, okay, that many of the kids in here would recognize. And some of them may be able to quote it. I don't know. But something we as adults need a reminder of. So Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse number 24. It says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." Everybody heard this before? We're in verse number 25. "And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." I made an outline for this quite some time ago that has stuck in my brain for a while. Okay, so I'm going to tell you this now, and I'm going to try to tie this in to Colossians chapter 2. Three things about this passage. Okay, number one is that everyone is presented, everyone has an option to hear and do or not hear and not do. Does that make sense? Everyone has that option. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, no matter what your financial status is, every time you hear the word of God, you have two options. Hear and do, or don't hear and don't do. We all okay so far? All right, so that's our option. I can't make you listen. I can't make you not listen. That's a choice you have to make. Number two, regardless of the decision to hear or not to hear, the rains will still come. The winds will still blow. And the elements will still beat you down. Does that make sense? Regardless of which side of the fence you land on, that does not stop the elements from coming for you. And number three, the difference between withstanding the beating of the elements or having a great fall is going to be what you choose to build on. Does that make sense? Just like the wise man who built his house upon a rock, and I'm having that song swirl through my head right now, just like the wise man who built his house on the rock or the not-so-smart man who built his house upon the sand, the difference is not whether the elements are stronger or weaker, because they're both the same. This is a control group that we see here in our passage. The same things came for both of these people. The question was, which one stood and which one didn't? So, what I'd like to do is I want to finish off the time here by looking at this, okay? There is a difference between building your life on the things of the world versus building your life on the things of God. The difference is great. And I mean great in distance. The difference between a person who decides that, you know what, I'm going to swim upstream, okay? I'm going to follow what the Bible says for me to do with my life. That person is very different in their day-to-day life versus the person who builds the things you find in self-help books today. Does this make sense? So, here's what I'd like to do, okay? I want to do an illustration. This should be fun. I want to do an illustration. And unfortunately for some of the people in this room, I teach the college and career class. So I want to have 12 people from the college and career class come up for just a second. I want 6 over here and 6 over here. Come on. We ain't got all day. I got 11 minutes and 56 seconds. Come on. 6 over here and 6 over here. I don't know if I have enough from my class. So I may have to pull some from elsewhere. Yeah, head over there. Okay. So while they're still coming up, here's what I'm going to do. So Lisa, why don't you stand up there on the platform? Okay. And then, Joe, why don't you stand up there as well? So I want to illustrate this just a little bit, okay? These are the things I do in my class that they hate me for. So what I'd like to do is illustrate this, okay? So track with me here because I want to tie all this together, and I hope that this will work. So Lisa over here is trying to build a life, okay? She's trying to build a life upon the things that she has been taught, all right? Unfortunately for Lisa, she's never heard the gospel, okay? She's building her life based on morals and on the values that she has been taught, whether it's from school or from a teacher or whatever. Does this make sense? Are you with me? Say amen. Okay, so that's Elisa. That's Elisa's story. Over here we have Joe. Okay? Joe here has been taught the Word of God. Okay? Joe has been taught that there's a difference between living a life for yourself versus living a life for God. Okay? So Joe has said in his heart, you know what? I'm going to follow the Scripture. I'm going to do everything I can to build my life on Christ, rooted and established in Him. You with me? We all still did? Okay, so here's a few things that Elisa would build her life on. Okay? So track with me here. So, Tara, I'm going to have you be self-reliance. Okay? Don't flip that over, okay? That's super important. All right. Self-reliance. Because Elisa looks at life and she says, you know what? I have what it takes to make it. That's a common message we hear, isn't it? That's a common message that is taught throughout the school system, and it's taught on YouTube videos, and it's taught in books and podcasts and whatever. But we're going to see that there's some problems with self-reliance. Also, Elisa is going to build life on intellect. Okay? Yeah, you're smart. Elisa's smart, but yeah. So, intellect. Intellect. Elisa says, you know what? I have what it takes. I have the smarts to make it through here. So I'm going to build my life on intellect. Okay, because I have what it takes. And then Elisa also lives life based on relationships. If I make enough connections and I know enough people, I'm going to be okay. Is this making sense so far? These are common things that people build their lives on. Okay? All right, so you're going to hold two, okay? One says career and one says possessions. There are many people out there who live their life based on their career. They want to follow a certain career path and get that promotion and hit this dollar amount and get here and get there. Does this make sense? And then possessions. Okay? I want to buy stuff. I just want stuff. I want more stuff than I can handle. Okay? So, hold those with me. Y'all okay? We doing all right? All right, so Joe over here, remember, Joe is our, I guess he can be our godly person. So, Joe has decided that I'm going to build my life on Christ. Okay, he's going to be rooted and built up in Him. All right, so Joe builds his life in contrast to these. Okay, don't forget this. This is what the world is building their life on, many of them. Some combination of that. Joe decides, I'm going to build my life on the Word of God. I'm going to take the standards and the principles and the doctrines that I've learned. I'm going to build my life on that. Okay, I'm going to build my life on that. So why don't y'all come back over here, okay, now, so I don't have to walk this far. All right, because I'm lazy. I'm a millennial. All right, so prayer. Joe's going to live his life on prayer. And he says, you know what? I'm going to live a life that's based on God's leadership. And I'm going to seek God every day. And I'm going to do everything I can to not make spontaneous decisions, especially spontaneous life decisions. Because those are normally based on intellect and self-reliance. Joe's going to live his life. Hi, Natalie. Welcome back. Joe is going to live his life based on godly counsel. And Joe says, I have a decision coming up in my life, and I'm going to seek godly counsel. I'm going to talk to my parents if they're saved. I'm going to talk to my pastor. I'm going to talk to some of the people in this room. This is for our church people, okay? Some of the people in this room who have been through this before. Does this make any sense? I'm just going to hand out the last two here. Joe is going to live a life based on stewardship and purpose. Is this making sense so far? It seems a little strange, but bear with me. Before I have them do anything else, can everybody in this room see the differences on who's building their life on what? Elisa, just to break it all down for you, it's all about her. It's all about her. She's building her life. All of these things are for her. Joe, there's nothing about him up here. His life, he's living a purpose for God. He's stewarding the things that God has given him. He's praying about it. He's getting counsel from the Word of God. Okay? So, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Eventually, one of two things is going to happen. The elements are going to come. The rains are going to descend, and the winds are going to blow, and they're going to threaten to tear down their houses. Does that make sense? It's a metaphor, but track with me. Okay? We'll tie all this in. So one is going to be built on one thing, and one's built on the other. So when the elements come, go ahead and flip your papers over. Make sure you do it the right way, please. Not like that. One is built on sand. It's built on sand. And the other is built on the rock. All of these things, okay, these kids' songs that we sing, the wise man built his house upon the rock. So simple, right? But what we fail to understand is that if I'm going to be built on the rock, it is built on daily decisions. Can I tie this into our text and then I'll be quiet? When I'm rooted and I'm built up in Him and I'm walking in Him, I'm utilizing the tools that God has given me to build a life for Him. And listen, if there is anything that people need today, it's the message that you don't have to live your life based on possessions and career and self-reliance and all those things and relationships, all those things that we listed over here for Elisa. Okay? You can use the tools of the Word of God. You can use the tool of prayer. You can use godly counsel. These things are available to you. But the question becomes this: when the elements come, are you built on the rock or are you built on the sand? So, and back to our title, are you rooted or are you rotted? Because a Christian that stands in the middle of these two is really a Christian that's building on the sand. Because a Christian who is not in the Word of God, a Christian who is not praying, a Christian who is not seeking godly counsel, a Christian who is not stewarding and who has forgotten their life purpose, they're building their house on the sand. The sand of self-reliance and the sand of possessions and of career and of all those things. If that makes sense, say amen. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Hold on to those for me, please. So listen, the thing is this. That isn't just a message that's applicable for the college and career class. It's not just a message that's applicable for the future leaders class or junior church. This is something that whether you are established in your life or not, the question isn't about, am I established in life? The question is, am I rooted and built up and established in Him? And once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. Okay? We're not talking about that. But what I am talking about is the fact that it can be easy to let your relationship begin to slip. You may be rooted. You may have all the appearances of being rooted above the soil, what we can see. But Christian, how's your prayer life? How's your decision-making been going? How's your attentiveness toward the Word of God? Because you understand, every time we wake up, every day we wake up, we're building on something. There's no middle ground here. It's not like there's rock, sand, and third option. There's not rooted, rotted, and third option. The choice is clear. Am I rooted or am I rotting? So let's be careful not to rot. Let's be careful not to allow ourselves to slip unnecessarily. Three things, and we'll close this. Deal with the rot in your life quickly so that healthy roots can take their place. If you identify rot in your life, and if you're walking with God, He'll show you where that rot is. You need to deal with that. Get rid of it. We cannot afford to allow rot into our lives. Number two, while we look forward to the joys of heaven, don't forget to find purpose in the life and rejoice in the blessings that God has given you now. Like I said, as Christians, kind of our bread and butter is talking about heaven, isn't it? And hey, I'm excited. I really am. I'm excited for heaven. All the songs we've seen, all the preaching we've heard on heaven, hey, I'm all for it. But that doesn't mean that I need to try to fast forward through my life now. Be joyful with where God has placed you. Be happy with where He's leading you in life. Find purpose and joy in the life that God's given you now. And lastly, number three, take the time to root yourself in the doctrines, the principles, and the standards laid out in the Word of God. Never lose that hunger to learn more, to do more, to be more places, to just to be used of God. Don't lose that root. It's possible to have a really, really, really good-looking plant above the soil, but below the soil, it's dead. Let's be careful not to do that in our lives. Are you rooted or are you rotted? Let's all stand, if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank you for your attention tonight.